In today's episode, we'll talk about how transformation can come in the most unexpected ways and the importance of why transformation is key right now. Do you know how beautiful you are? Welcome back to Soul Speak. I'm Meg Michelson. Thank you for joining me today. If you're a new timer, I appreciate that you're trying this out. If you have been listening to other podcasts with me, thank you so much. Thank you for sharing and liking and rating. Send me questions, send me comments. I really do love that. It's important for me to be connecting and understanding if this is helpful and supporting you on your journey. So thank you. As I've mentioned in previous episodes, we're in a time of strong reveal. We're in a time where we are really being pushed to wake up. And that's not a bad thing, but it can definitely be a hard thing, and it can definitely be an uncomfortable thing when we are waking up to how we get in our own way and the ways in which we blunder through life and hurt others and hurt self. But now we are really being asked to wake up, to see the patterns that we've been running. I want you to take a moment to look back to 2008. There is a huge shift going on that started in 2008, and I'm going to give you a brief recap. And again, I'm not an astrologer. There are people that have way more knowledge than I do. I read and I listen to some really good ones out there. And I just read a quick recap on this shoring up of Pluto in Capricorn. And what does that mean? Why is this time so vital? Pluto is a biggie. Pluto is one of the most intense planets in astrology. Pluto represents death, destruction, asking us to look into the depth, the underworld, as it's called, which is our emotions, those things, the part of us, those shadow parts that we don't always want to look at. But we're being asked to unpack those. And Pluto can pack a serious punch. My belief, if we keep ignoring our underworld, we'll eventually just get smacked in the head with a brick or something. We are meant to. We are meant to wake up to the shadow parts and learn to embrace them and work through them and transform them so we love ourselves more, so we escape less, because ideally we're staying awake and not looking to escapism patterns on a regular basis. So as I said, Pluto packs a serious punch, and it is here right now in our face to clear away the dead weight from our personal and our collective lives. And it's here, whether or not we're ready. It's been here pushing us, and it's culminated starting in September. And we're in it, in the thick of it, and now it is really time to address it. So what does it mean when it comes back into Capricorn? Because as I said, Pluto is shoring up with Capricorn. What's Capricorn mean? In astrology, Capricorn is an earth sign. It represents ambition, hard work, practicality, and it is represented as the sea goat, a mythical creature that can move on both land and sea. That to me is, it's an ability to be both practical and intuitive, because we want to be understanding if we are living in the balanced state of practicality and flow. The ruling planet is Saturn. Saturn is key here. Saturn is the planet of structure, limits, authority. And Capricorns are known for being hardworking, ambitious, honest, loyal, persistent, practical, traditional, independent, concerned with right or wrong, doing the right thing. Everything has a shadow and a light. So when we're in too strong of a Capricorn, we might be too tyrannical. We might want it our way or the highway. And yet, we also need to have that Capricorn energy of stability, of being practical, of being in hard work when we need to. And it can also be in the shadow when we are becoming too much of a workaholic. We're in too much of that stress energy. You know, we just had the Northern Lights in many parts of the U.S., and it was so beautiful. And it reminded me, because it was like waves, but it was also like raking the colors across the sky. And right now, this Pluto Capricorn push time, it's kind of like raking your fingers on a chalkboard if we're not careful, because it's bringing us into those places that we maybe haven't been looking at that we need to, whatever that means to you. So it is so important to allow ourselves to be a little squeamish, allow ourselves to be a little uncomfortable, but nurture self. Don't push ourselves like we're being a tyrant with ourselves. No, we've had a lot of that strong push energy where it's really masculine dominant. I don't mean male dominant. I mean masculine dominant. And we're really being asked to go into the flow, that flow of work and play, that flow of practicality mixed with laughter and fun and relying on our intuition. We need all of that. And that's what this time is, not to be a workaholic, but to be responsible, to rely on our faith and our physical body to do things. So all that being said, this time that we are in now that started, remember, about 2008. And when that started, where were you in 2008? What was your life like? What was the shift that came back in again September of this year? And it's going to follow us through some of November. But think about 2008 in our country, because this really won't happen again in our lifetimes, this Pluto Capricorn conjunction here. Think back to 2008 with the housing crisis, when that housing market took a nosedive because prices were so inflated and people were taking out loans that were above and beyond the value of their home. There wasn't enough structure. And so then Capricorn and Pluto joined forces and like, wait a minute, we got to restructure here. This is not working. So a complete restructuring occurred. Really, even though it was painful for a lot of people because a lot of people lost their houses, it was outdated. It was too inflated. We had to go back to being practical. It was spending more money than people had. And that was going on in a lot of different places. And now it's this time we've been in, this 16 years since 2008, it's to look at how are we really living? How are we being responsible and not? You know, in my own personal journey, that's about the time I got separated from my former husband. One of my dear friends calls her ex-husband her husband. I kind of like that, but I forget to use it. He and I did really well financially, and I was working part-time, and I was partly a stay-at-home mom, and we could spend what we wanted. However, we were a little Pollyanna. We were spending more than we should have, absolutely. So that time hit us as well. I had too much of a Pollyanna attitude about, oh, we'll always make money. Oh, we'll always make money. And these past 16 years since 2008, for me personally, because I got divorced and then I became a single mom and I adopted my fifth child on my own and I have earned my own income. So I've really learned how I was supposed to use money, which has been great, but remember, 16 years, and now we're in the final push. It's about rebuilding. And 16 is a significant number here. Not coincidental in my belief system that the number 16 is how many years it's been. 16 represents wisdom and rebirth. So in order for us to wise up right now during this final push time, we have to use our wisdom. We can't be in Pollyanna. Pollyanna is great if we want to look at the water and look at the stars. But we also then have to look at our structure. What's our life like? What's our budget? What's our structure in our daily life? How much are we giving not only to our work life, but our personal life? Remember, it's not just about work. It's how are we living? Is it in a state of balance? Balance is so important. So rebuilding can take place after Pluto came in and he hurt us wherever he was supposed to hurt us, or whatever was not working, whatever needed to be wiped. And so wherever you got hurt or whatever was going on in your life that wasn't working, maybe it was a few areas that started in 2008. I was speaking with someone and they realized they started college during that time and then their vocation, and they never really gave it their all. They kind of just lived under the radar a little too much. And now in that final push, he's like, wow, it's time for me to step it up and really step into my destiny. Absolutely. Why? Because he wasn't really getting the opportunities he wanted because he was living not in a strong way. He was living kind of in la la land. And that's what this energy is about. See the truth. Allow ourselves to see the truth. See our lives with clarity. Allow ourselves to be led by our higher wisdom, and then bring it into a concrete earth-based way by looking at a schedule, by looking at a budget, by looking at, if I'm building a business, how much money am I going to need? And how much am I going to need to borrow? How much is coming from me? And is the long-term growth worth it? Or with a job? So really look at that structure piece. That's where we're being asked. And consider this next month, because now we're in October, consider this next month or so as the last big push to really look at how we have handled ourselves in this chapter of our life. From now until November 19th, tie up those loose ends. Look at yourself in the mirror, not in a way of shame or blame, because then we don't have enough energy. No, that just drags us down. But in a way of, where was I being a little too Pollyanna in my life? Have I been a tyrant? Have I been too loosey-goosey? Have I been letting too many people walk on me? Have I walked on too many people? What area in my life have I been mishandling? Now it's time to bring it into a healthy structure. And look at your legacy. What legacy do you want to leave? Now is the time. And that doesn't mean we have to scramble. It means take some time and breathe and readjust. Do things a little differently in a healthy way. Take those steps in that direction, because the universe partners with us. The universe, in my belief, gives us 10 blessings for every time we step into being more awake. And things can come easier. However, remember, it comes with being more mindful and being more responsible. And responsibility isn't just get up, exercise, go to work, come home. No, it's being responsible to your emotional self. It's being responsible to the people that love you. Not being ruthless, not being controlling, because that was the old way. It's not going to work any longer. It's not going to work any longer to say, if I'm crabby, I can come home and be crabby at everybody. No, that's not the way it works. And we will never have a healthy structure. And do you really want to leave that legacy? So what can we do different now? Can we do things a little more independently if we've been too dependent? Or do I need to count on others a little more because I have been too independent? Am I living my highest potential? Am I living my full potential? Or am I letting myself be too timid? Because what will people think of me? Will they think I'm ego-based if I let myself use my voice or really become great at what I really want to become great at? Will they criticize me? Where are you getting in your own way? That is that time. And any dream we have, we need to put stability around it. We need to build it into our schedule to make it really move forward, whatever your dream is. Are you using your voice in healthy ways? That's another thing, right? And putting structure to it, checking in with yourself. How did today go? Were there times where I did not use my voice and then I was angry and now it's bubbling up in my throat? Have I been giving too much and not giving myself enough? No, and I've said this before, part of my old pattern was to just give too much to others at the cost of me. And I had to back that up and think, wait a minute, it's not selfish to take care of me in my own financial life. It's smart. Because why? Because I'm walking the talk. Or are you being too selfish, not giving enough? Because you're afraid you're not going to have enough, so you're hoarding. It's just to relook at our structure. Are you spending too much? Not saving enough? No, it is important to have a nest egg. It is. And to do it in a balanced way and diversify however you need to. But really look at that piece of you that you'd have been a little bit too busy to look at. But really, it's not that we're too busy. It's that we're just too afraid to change because we don't know what that's going to mean, or we don't know that we can, or we're afraid that we can't, and then we'll be disappointed at ourselves, and we don't want to take the time. because it takes time. And someone I was talking with about leadership, they don't even know what it feels like to be a good leader. Well, there's no shame in that. They just weren't taught it. But we can always, always learn it. I love the book, The Servant Leader, and there's a lot of good podcasts and there's a lot of good articles out there on what does it mean to be a healthy leader. So whatever it is we need to learn, if you need to learn more about finance, you know, I wanted to start investing. So I went to one of my brothers who's really good at investing. My dad was too, but he passed away. But I don't know enough in that world. So then I sought someone that does, because I don't need to know everything, nor will I ever. And that's what we get to do, right? What do we have to learn? Are we willing then to ask for what we need in a healthy way? So asking yourself, what do I need to take charge of? Where have I let things slip by a little too much? Maybe it's been my behavior. Maybe it's been my escapism. Maybe I've been too spendy. Maybe I've been too controlling. Maybe I haven't been using my voice. Where do I need to step in and take charge again in a healthy way? What legacy are you leaving? That is what this time frame is about. Remember, this is the year of the rabbit in Chinese astrology. Rabbits are successful with hard work. What does that mean to work hard? That's part of that Saturn energy, right? Working hard. And we oftentimes associate hard work with physical. Remember, that's also emotional work. In order to be successful emotionally, we have to put time into our emotional growth, our soul growth, because true success is the Holy Trinity in the personal way, body, mind, spirit. So what does it mean to work hard? Yeah, we have to put our effort in. If we want to go after a big dream, we absolutely have to put effort in. So that means if we want a good relationship, because our relationships have sucked, then we have to put some hard work into what does it mean to have a good relationship? Maybe I'll read more books on it. Maybe I'll pay attention more to how I'm talking or what I'm asking for. But I really want to start looking at how to build healthier relationships. So I'm going to put some work in there. And what emotions are ruling me? Am I running amok with my anger? No, that's again, that emotional work. I drove by a church sign today and it said, "He who angers you controls you." I loved that. He who angers you controls you. Think about that a minute. When we are angry at somebody, and every time we think of that person and we get in more angry, we get inflamed. Wow, that means they're still holding our cup. So how do you have to change your life so that person doesn't anger you anymore? There's something in there underneath that. Spend a moment, ask, why does this person trip my trigger? Why do I feel disempowered? Because really, at the end of the day, when someone is still making you angry, you're disempowered. Now, I want to tell you a story. I was talking with somebody. His name is Steve. That's a made-up name, by the way. And he was in New York with his wife, and they were in Manhattan just sitting on a park bench. And he got up, and they started to walk away. And this man, a very large man, started yelling at him. And he could feel it directed right at him. And there were hundreds of people around. And he went right into, you know, how we would all probably feel when someone starts yelling at us in public. It's a little embarrassing and we're not even sure why. And the man was talking about, you left crumbs all over that table. Why did you leave crumbs all over that table? Blah, 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 blah. And Steve could have done many things, right? He could have like ran away. He could have walked back in anger. He could have ignored it and just kept strolling. But what did Steve do? He turned around and he walked back to this man that was really large and really angry and swearing and yelling. And Steve put his hands up in a gentle way and said, "Hey, hey, can we talk about this?" And the guy kept going and going and going. And out of Steve's mouth came, "Would it be okay and would you be okay if I said I was sorry?" The guy, this man that was so angry, stared at Steve a minute and then turned and looked the other way. And then his whole being shifted and he looked back at Steve and said, "Yeah, it would. I accept your apology." And the whole scene diffused. And as Steve is walking away, another man walked up to him, tapped him on the shoulder, and said, "Don't let that experience, don't let that man's anger define your day. Go enjoy your day." Steve sat down on a park bench with his wife and started to cry for many reasons. One, that was a huge emotional deal. You know, he could have gotten angry back, and he didn't even leave the crumbs, but he didn't want to defend himself because he realized there was something way bigger going on here. That something bigger was maybe that man that was so angry had felt unheard for so many years, or maybe he had felt displaced, or maybe he has all these struggles that we don't know about. And Steve didn't take it personally. There's something that stepped in him that was the higher wisdom. And he realized as he sat down on that park bench sobbing with his wife, that's how he oftentimes treats his family. He comes home after work and he's done a lot for a lot of people, and he becomes angry and he yells, not even at them necessarily, but just starts to get a little bit too intense, and that can be intimidating. So when he said, "Hey, can I apologize to you? Will that make a difference?" he was actually also saying that to his family, and he was saying that to himself. That was a hugely transformative time for him. Hugely transformative. And that was just a brief recap of that time, because he realized that man was mirroring him. And he wanted to understand, wow, here we are at the end of this push time, Pluto Capricorn. Remember, Capricorn can be in the shadow, domineering, too structured, too rigid, too authoritative. And that was happening in his own life. So this man that was demonstrating that to him, maybe that was an earth angel. And the other man that walked up and tapped him on the shoulder, gave him a little bit of love and release, maybe that was an angel too. Who knows, right? We don't know. Maybe that was all some beautiful, soulful experience. So Steve could understand how he affects other people, because he really did. He understood what he does to his wife and his other children when he doesn't even mean to. He wasn't really even aware of how it was affecting him. And in that moment, that transformed him. And that's why he sat down on the park bench and he cried, because he realized, wow, that could have gone so different. But what it did was hold up a mirror for me. And that's what this Pluto and Capricorn time is. Let ourselves recognize what pattern are we running that is getting in our way. He takes on too much. He says yes too much. But then he builds it up inside of him because he feels like he has to say yes to so many people. And then he explodes. He does a verbal vomit because he's so full, he doesn't know what to do with all of that. What else can we do, right? We can learn to say no. We can learn to breathe during the day. We can learn to do more healthy self-care. And don't let that experience define you. Whatever our pattern has been that hasn't been to our highest good. You know, for me, I really had to learn how to redo money because I was Pollyanna with it. And that was embarrassing to me. There were times when it was really a struggle, and it wasn't an easy overturn. It wasn't. It took me years to figure that out. But that's okay. Don't let that part of me, that's not only part of me, it's a part that I struggled with. And I've learned how now, but it took me a while. But if I sat and was in shame about the times that I wasn't handling money well, that's not really me. It's just some way I was doing things. Steve's anger isn't Steve. It's his woundedness. So I was wounded in one way. He was wounded in another. Whatever our woundedness is, and it's coming out in an unhealthy pattern, it's here to become healthy. It's here because we can repair it. But we want to do that with the understanding of, if I don't know how to tie my shoe, I have to learn, right? I think I was in first grade by the time I tied my shoe because I had so many older siblings, they would just tie my shoe. And one day my first grade teacher, who I loved, Miss Meal, said, okay, we got to help you tie your shoe. I probably was embarrassed, but whatever. I didn't know how to tie my shoe before first grade. And it makes me laugh. And am I embarrassed anymore? No, it's funny. But that's what it is with patterns. We want to stick them under the rug. We don't want to fix them because we're too embarrassed to bring them out. And that's what happened with Steve. He didn't want to look at his anger. And there it was in New York City when he was on a trip. And me with the way I used money after my divorce. We want to do it with loving kindness to self. Whatever our pattern is that is meant to be healed over this next about a month, don't let it define you. Work with it. So it's not a big shame ball that you want to hide, but something you want to bring breath in, because we are bigger than that thing. We are bigger than that shadow pattern. It's part of us. We're meant to bring it to the light. We're more than our anger. We're more than when we pout. We're more than being overly sensitive. We are bigger than that. So I encouraged you and I encouraged Steve to write that pattern down. Whatever that was that happened in those moments, write them down. Why? Because our memory waters everything down so we can forget that. And now remember, we've got about a month to really look at changing this pattern. And it is key. So write down a few things that you're ready to look at with loving kindness and shift. Otherwise, we might forget. Writing brings it down into the body, because remember, our mind works at the speed of light. Our body's denser. And that's why we can have a million thoughts in a day and not even remember all the thoughts, because they pass. But when we write them down, easier to remember. So write down. Steve might write down that experience, and that'll be his memory to pause before he becomes so overly reactive with his anger. And mine has been to learn how to really work within what I want, what I have. And now how do I get there? Bringing concreteness to it. So write down, reread. And when we're not doing it how we want, wipe it clean, start again, right? That's what life is. And we get a little stuck sometimes because it's unknown. If I make this change, how is that going to be? Unknown is really scary. So if Steve says, if I stop coming home and being verbally vomiting when I'm really angry, what's that going to be like? Am I going to still have control of my family? Is that part of it? Whatever that is, right? If I become more fiscally responsible, does that mean I don't have faith that money's just going to rain down from the heavens? Of course not. It's all about balance. And when we have that unknown fear of whatever our change is, and another young fellow I was working with, his is stepping into his leadership. I don't know how to be a leader, but of course he does. He's already doing it. He's not recognizing when he's walking the talk, and that's a true leader. It's scary to take a pattern and change it because there's so much unknown. When we allow ourselves to breathe into the unknown, when we allow ourselves to take emotional care of self while also being responsible, looking where we need to change things up, connecting both as a divine child, having faith, using our beautiful community, and also being an adult in our own lives, connecting with others, connecting with our community, connecting with our world at large in healthy ways. That helps us stay strong and in integrity and also in alignment with our highest good. So ask yourself, what legacy do I want to leave? Have a beautiful week. I wish you so much goodness and the strength to shift some patterns, because now you have a lot of support from anything unknown, from those beautiful guides and angels or whatever your belief is with the higher self or light. Call them in. You're not alone. Enjoy and be good to yourself. Thank you so much. Hey, listeners, thank you so much for being part of the Soul Speak world. I really appreciate that. And if you're willing and if you find this of value, would you please follow on any of the platforms you're listening to, whether that's Apple or Spotify or Google or any of the platforms? And of course, I love the ratings if you find this valuable. You can also follow me on YouTube and like and share. And all of that really makes a difference. Appreciate your participation. And of course, I really appreciate you being part of this world.